May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable unto thee, my Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. The homily's title today is 3-in-1 and 1-in-3. Today we usher in the longest of the church seasons, Trinity. Last Sunday, or Whitsunday, began a 24-week celebration of the Pentecost season. It is the time when we celebrate the descending of the Holy Spirit on earth as Christ ascends into heaven. This second half of the church year coordinates with the first, since it celebrates the continuing work of Christ and His church by the Holy Spirit. It is primarily signified by the color green, beginning next week, that is used during the Trinity and Epiphany seasons, except for white or red when particular saint days are observed. Trinity Sunday is one of the principal feast days of the year that include Easter, Ascension, Whitsunday, All Saints, and Christmas Day. So we see that this is a very important day in the church year. For centuries, clergy have attempted to explain the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in various ways. Of the many ways I have heard, I'm sure you've heard others, I like the egg, which is part yolk, part white, egg white, and part shell. But the best way I heard it explained is like this: three states of water. Depending on temperature, water becomes one of three consistencies. When it is cold, it becomes ice. At room temperature, it becomes a liquid. Or when it is hot, it becomes steam. I think of God as the ice in this picture. He is strong and solid like a rock, although His coldness sometimes seems to place Him at a distance. And then I think of Jesus as the liquid. He is described in the scriptures as the living water that refreshes and cleanses us, and it is the water that we are also baptized in Christ's blood. So He's at room temperature, therefore He's in the room with us. Then I think of the Holy Spirit as the radiant steam, because He is the Spirit that not only permeates our environment, but also dwells in us. As far as the ice I mentioned and related it to God as cold and distant, this is not a true representation of God, because He is with us, although He appears to be that way with us sometimes. Usually it is when we are out of communion with Him. God never leaves us, but we often stray away from Him, and because of that, we think God is out of touch, not us. But if we open our hearts and ourselves to Him in love, if we seek Him with a repentant spirit, He will not be so distant, and His seeming hardness will melt away, because He loves us so much that we all know He gave His only Son. On this Trinity Sunday, we pay particular attention to the fact that God is three persons in one. To the rational man, this is rather irrational. How can three equal one? To our eyes and minds, we acknowledge that this is physically impossible, to have three persons in one, although we ourselves make up a trinity of man, divided into the body, the mind, and the spirit. Our oral tradition has reduced theological truths to the written word, which we find in the Holy Scriptures, as well as books annotating the truths revealed in such works as the three creeds of Nicene, Apostles, and Athanasian. Reverend Bob Gieselman writes, "The problem with reducing articles of truth, the scriptures, to writings is that we end up confusing what is written with the truth itself, as in the ink with the meaning. Words are finite, and a truth like God is infinite. Writings merely reflect the truth that has been experienced. When you are searching for the truth that is contained and the written or spoken communication, remember this: experience precedes communication and all forms of that. In the case of the Trinity, we experience God as triune before writing the word Trinity on paper. the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, followed by the experience of God as Father, God as Son, and God as Holy Spirit. Thus these three words express a description of the church's experience, but they are not the experience itself. For example, one might identify God as Father while another identifies God as Creator. But God is greater than ink or letters. None of the creeds can fully contain God. God cannot be stuffed in a box. God cannot be limited because He is the Alpha and Omega, and He is limitless. He stretches as far as the East is from the West. Today's Christians are learning just how limiting words can be, especially when we try to understand God. Greek words such as logos, which means word, or spiritus, which means spirit, and parallel words such as creator, redeemer, sustainer, as well as some metaphysical words such as energy, wisdom, light, hope, and justice, are ways we try to interpret God. In a way, we are trying to put a face on God. But God is more than a face. God is more than an image. God is greater than our minds can conceive. People want to know what God looks like, how He behaves, how He copes with the stresses and pressures of the world that He created. But herein lays the paradox. We can only identify God with our terms, like in our ink. We will never be able to understand God until we meet Him in eternity. There are some things that man's mind will never understand, and it is represented in the image of God, the experience of God. Now, God created man in His image, and when we look into a mirror, we can begin to see and understand God. People around the world are yearning to know God and experience Him. They are desperately trying to understand God. Of course, it is always, and ever shall be, impossible to truly identify God. This is why the Hebrews refused in the Old Testament to even give God a name, because the words and letters are so insufficient. The Hebrews would not even speak the name of God, because speaking His name would only limit Him. You might think today's comprehension of the Trinity has always been understood in the church, but far from it. It took centuries to understand this concept of three in one, as it is identified in the three creeds. The first great schism that divided the Eastern from the Western church 1,000 years ago was over this very subject that we're discussing today. 500 years later, the Protestant Reformation further divided divided the Western Church. So what is the point of all this? Reverend Gieselman writes that Christianity has never been to figure out God by reading and learning, but by experiencing God. The pertinent question is the same question it has always been. When, where, and how do we find God? Where do we find His love, His acceptance, and redemption? Well, it is found in the Scriptures. During my clinical training at Pinehurst, I once met an agnostic, atheist man who was asking these very same questions. He and I played the what if for an hour or so until it was time for me to leave. I suggested that his intellectualism was getting in the way of his faith. We can only know and understand God if we have faith. We may never know all the mysteries of this universe. I told him that if he wanted to meet and understand God, just open the Holy Scriptures. God will speak to you when you read His Word. I know many Christians never open God's Word, to my chagrin, but they want to be spoon-fed, and in a way they're looking for the easy way to know God. But make no mistake, God is reaching out to us through His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He has given us every chance possible to get to know Him. God is infinite, and so His love for mankind is also infinite. We, on the other hand, are finite substances contained in mortal bodies made from dust. Our tiny brains cannot fully understand the mystery of God and the Trinity. But God gave himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in this Trinity season of Trinity, we are given the Holy Spirit who dwells in our bodies. When we pray, we fast, and when we meditate through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal himself to us. For us to truly know and begin to understand God our Father, we must, as Jesus told Nicodemus, be born again. And as I told the agnostic stranger that he should have faith in God, I recommended that he pray and repent of his sins and accept Christ Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. Only then will God reveal himself to us over time as we grow in the word of Christ Jesus. And by the way, the meaning of Christ is God with us. God will give us a peace and joy that will pass all understanding. And God wants to do this for everyone who desires a personal relationship with him. We have the freedom of choice to accept or reject him, but through the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Energy, Light, Wisdom, Justice, and Hope, and Perfection, we see that there is a God hidden yet eternal, and he becomes unhidden when we are born again. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.